Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And we're just in very critical, crucial times
Yes, we are. Very important. I mean, we can't take things for granted. I'm afraid that many people today are, but we have to, especially in terms of this election that we have coming up, we need to pray, seek the Lord, humble ourselves, and vote at the same time.
Well, it's so important to understand, because if you study history, and from what we understood in the last maybe 10 years, America quit teaching history, period.
Yes.
And
well, they taught a version of history.
Yeah, a revision version of history. But if you look at history, when people, some countries, or most countries over the years, when they decided to change leaders, they didn't like this leader, they wanted that leader, it would be a war take place.
People died.
Well, there would be a war, there would be people infighting, and next thing you know, somebody dies and somebody leads.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how things switched for many, many thousands of years.
Sure.
And then this thing happened around, you know, from when King David was, it was King John, that during the Magna Carta, there about 500 plus years ago, and they just came up with this idea of saying, you know, we need some representative type form of government, because King John was taking everybody's land, taking everybody's, you know, widowed wife and forcing all their property to be his. And just, there was just no rights for people. So the Magna Carta was written by the people, and it was accepted for a moment and then declined. But that's where the United States Constitution is a derivative from that kind of concept. And what they're trying to, what our founding fathers decided was, if we're going to have a government able to switch leadership without shedding blood, it requires for the people to participate in the process, which means vote. Now, people say, oh, I can't believe how rude people are to each other, and they talk so bad, they point out negative things, and I got to get in my car, and I got to drive two blocks to the precinct, and I got to study what they stand for. And it's like, we're not going to war.
Hello. Yeah.
To be able to switch power, and this is what they've always said. If you listen very carefully to past transitions of power, they would say that the, back when there was like newscasters that casted the news versus preferences, they would say, and the country has just shifted power without the shedding of blood or drawing of guns.
Almost every election.
Yes.
Every election.
It's huge.
It's a huge thing. And sad to say that historically, voting turnout is always low. They're making a big thing now as a recent, as if it's high. No, it's just higher, but it's still significantly lower.
So when you study and you understand history, you can tell your kids, teach them around the table, you can remind your spouse. We have to get informed about who we're going to vote for and what they stand for and the values. You don't vote party, vote specifically about what does that man or woman stand for. If they lock themselves into a party platform, then find out what the platform says. And when we looked at the platform of some of them literally denied God's existence, denied Israel being the Jerusalem be the capital of Israel. Just weird, crazy things that helps you decide as a Christian.
And as a Christian, you have to determine, too, are you going to vote your values or are you going to vote God's values? You know, we don't have a factor in this decision if we want to honor the Lord. God's, I believe, going to hold us accountable for the levers that we pull and the decisions that we make. So we want to be informed.
And you can go to get informed. You can go to vfnkb.com/vote. And we have different links to different voters guides to be able to inform you, maybe about your judges that you have to vote on, some different things, but access to different people that are sharing about how does this person stand on these particular viewpoints and all. It's called values. And so I think about this. I think about, you know, when you're thinking about your participation, it's so important for you not to get your direction from a leaning, some media outlets that just basically became outlets for political parties.
Propaganda, yeah.
Yeah, and if that's true, then you can like, okay, I get their viewpoint of their particular party or their leaning, but you got to find out yourself. I know when my governor was running for governor, and when I first saw that particular governor, I said, you know, how do you stand on this value? How do you stand on that? He said, check out the website. I said, I'm checking out you right now. How do you stand on this value?
Yeah.
And guess what? He stood up for every one of those values, and he stayed with them. I saw him again, you know, when he was running for a second term, and I got a chance to talk to him. I looked at him because it's so unusual. I said, you did what you said you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. And he signed a bill called the Born Alive
Baby
Bill.
Baby
Born Alive Bill, which means doctors who actually kill children that are born alive, because that's what they did. They just kind of let them die prior to that. Now they actually would go to jail if they did not provide all the care that every citizen is due
to save that
when the child
life.
Is born. And so this is so important. And understand, your leaders determine whether your sons or your daughters go to war. Most wars are fought by men and women between the ages of 18 and 22 years old. I think it's right around there. I think Steve Kalaszewski was talking about that just recently. And so we're making a decision as someone, whatever age we are we willing to send these young folks to war? And if, you know, for what reasons, and who is the person that's going to be in leadership? And are they just doing things that are going to create friction and contention? And secondly, a lot of times the reason why countries end up in war is because they're not focusing on the economy that helps the nation rise up to pay for its military, to pay for its infrastructure, to be able to pay for security for the borders, to be able to take care of our senior citizens and take care of our schools. And that happens with a rising economy. And right now, and the economy in America is the best reportedly that has ever been in the history of America. Mm. The unemployment rate for all of America is lower than it's been in 50 years, but lowest ever in the history for African Americans, lowest in the history for Hispanic Americans, lowest in the history for Asian Americans, like a 60-plus year low for women.
Yes.
It's just a
low for veterans.
Your veterans, even young people who didn't graduate from high school.
Yeah.
They don't have their degree that they're getting employed. Even prisoners are getting employed. As a matter of fact, we have more job openings right now than we have people to fill them. Listen, that's a great problem. That means God's blessing our nation. Now it's time to have a merit-based system of people coming to the country from all around the world. Maybe that's you. Listen, we're going to need you, but come in the legal way because we're going to need thousands and thousands of people
Absolutely.
Who want the American dream, who believe in the American values, who understands our Constitution, who wants to be, though we're many, we're one, e pluribus unum, and that happens. And I think about this. I think about what Dr. Brown wrote about in his book, talking about our presidents are never our savior. But listen, understand very specifically that it's important that they can be maybe not a man of God, but they can be God's man for the hour. And he's being interviewed right now by
James Robinson.
Check it out.
I'm continuing to talk to Dr. Michael Brown. You can watch the previous interviews. He's written a book, Donald Trump is Not My Savior. It's not a criticism of Donald Trump. Neither myself or our guest, Dr. Michael Brown, were, you know, believing that Donald Trump was even going to get the nomination. But then as we began to watch, and I would say, Michael, that we watched in amazement, and that it just seemed he kept rising to the top. I made a statement in the spring before it was even obvious that it was going to be narrowed down to basically he and Ted Cruz, that I don't think we, meaning Christians, evangelicals, Catholics, all Christians who are praying, I said, I don't think we're going to get our champion. I think we're going to get the people's champion. Mm. And how we, the people of God in the church, respond to the people and their champion is going to say a whole lot about the church. And for me, as a member of Christ's body of believers in the church, I felt like I was to speak truth in love very faithfully and forcefully as directly as possible to Donald Trump, which he opened the door for me to do that. Would you call that a miracle that door even opened?
Yeah, and you told me repeatedly that in 55 years of ministry at that point, no one had ever received you more openly and graciously. And I knew that you could read people well enough. So again, it's one of those things where, you know, a whole audience is laughing at a comedian and you're not laughing and you're thinking he's not funny at all. And then at a certain point you think, I guess I'm just not getting the joke. So there was something that God was doing that just was so different than what I expected, so different than what I saw. So I had to ask myself, what is appealing to the people? What is getting the people's attention? And by the time he got elected as the Republican nominee, at that point, I had to recognize God was doing something. There was just no other way it was going to happen. And the fact that as strong as you got with him, I remember you texted me, you said, Michael, I just rebuked him. I was so strong with him. You even called him back once, right, to apologize for rebuking him so strongly. And he thanked you. So I thought, okay, something's going on here. And that's what got my attention. And I think if we keep that divine perspective, because it's really easy to go back to just all the criticism and the, oh, I wish you didn't do this, and did he have to say this, and what about this, and, you know, the Bob Woodward books and the other books and all the chaos and all the stuff, you know, all the negative, it's very easy to swing back in that and fail to recognize what God continues to do.
You said reading the Woodward book made you love him more, Trump. Yeah, and appreciate him more, amazingly, you said.
Yeah, in fact, if it was as bad as described, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, when that horrific tape came out of him making those miserable remarks about women, it didn't surprise me. That's who I thought he was, especially back then. Hopefully he continues to change, but none of that surprised me. So even if all the worst stuff in the Woodward book was true, even if it was, the fact is Trump really seemed to care about people. He seemed to feel it was really important that he kept his campaign promises.
He wants people who believe in prayer praying for him.
Yeah.
And he shows an unbelievable admiration of the Jesus that he sees in other serious Christians. And you can see it. I mean, he absolutely admires Christ in others. And, you know, Jesus said, if they receive you, to his disciples, they receive me. Mm. And I made the statement that no one has ever received me in any leadership role more openly, more fully and freely than did Donald Trump. So if Jesus says they receive you, they receive me. Well, now you work out the theological ramifications of that. All I'm telling you is he received. And what I'm believing is that when you sow the word of God faithfully, unapologetically, unwavering, then I believe it always accomplishes its purpose. Mm. And I think we're watching that. Would you agree the statement that I made when people were pushing back? That God uses imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. Is the Bible not filled with imperfect people God uses in incredible, indescribable ways, almost always as an answer to the humility and prayers of his people? So God can use anyone, however imperfect they are.
Yeah, look, that's all he has is imperfect people. Outside of his son Jesus, everyone that's worked on the planet has been imperfect. It dawned on me years ago that God is not waiting for doctrinal perfection because he uses us. In fact, he uses us in different groups. We disagree with each other doctrinally, but he's using us because no one has perfect knowledge. No one has perfect character. Listen, one of my reflections at the end of the book is that God uses unlikely vessels, but character does matter. In other words, if you have character flaws, there's going to be some bad fruit from that, but that's all God has to use is people with flaws. The less flaws, the better. But we needed someone with a forehead of steel, like a bull in a china shop. I cannot imagine what it's like to be in Washington, D.C. I cannot imagine the spiritual opposition, the level of the political establishment, Republican, Democrat, the whole swamp, deep state, whatever. I can't imagine what's going on. You need someone with a forehead of steel to take that on. Now, with a forehead of steel, you may step on some toes along the way. But when you look at, say, just where President Trump has held his ground with Supreme Court appointees, federal court appointees, and people are saying he could change the state of the courts for 30 to 40 years ahead. Okay, I wish he didn't tweet certain things he tweeted, but it's going to be far more consequential over the decades to have these people in court. So it's just like with all of us. I wish I did things differently years ago. I wish I was closer to the Lord. I wish I was more like Jesus. So people have been blessed by the good in me and hurt by my flaws. The same with everybody. It's just on steroids with the president.
Yeah, and we've all failed. Have we learned from our failures? Are we stronger as a result of it? That's very important for all of us to look at and consider. So I really want to encourage you to be praying about our nation and our future, because God has promised that if his people who know him, who are called by his name, will humble ourselves, literally seek his face, his pleasure, and turn from our wicked ways, which includes indifference, even the failure to participate in the process of selecting the best possible leaders. And most people believe right now in America, they made the right choice. Even though we still want to see God doing things in his life, we are seeing some miraculous things happen with the economy. More people are working. More people in the minority community are working. And I know because of the time I've spent with this man, he wants to help everyone that is lacking, everyone that is in need, everyone that feels overlooked. I've been with him now for about 2 years. I've never heard him talk about his own personal interests, his family interests, his personal investments, his business. Not one time, nor any of the members of the family. This is amazing, but what I've heard him talk about is his desire for you to have an opportunity, for you to have what freedom offers, for you to have a future. So let's pray to that end, because I know that pleases God when we see the benefits of freedom which he came to give us through Jesus Christ. Please pray and please vote. Do not fail to take a stand for the wisest possible choices in all areas, in all communities.
This is so, so very, very important. I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet got ready to vote, get educated, get out and vote November the 6th. As a matter of fact, you can go to vfnkb.com/vote to get educated on the values of voters. You're seeing this right here. Go to vfnkb.com/vote. And we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? You know, comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We love hearing from you. It's all of us together making wise decisions as Jesus Christ is our leader. It's very exciting.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.